The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
As soon as I made the decision to come here, I texted Kenny and got to talk to him a little bit and just tell him, hey, every day we go out there, let's be the best version of ourselves and try to make this team better.
And what was his reaction back to you, just given the dynamics of this situation out in the quarterback room?
Let's make this team better. Let's do all that stuff. It was positive. It was forward, and let's go do it.
Let's go do it indeed.
Let's go do it.
We'll be doing more for the next 2 hours than Russell Wilson and Kenny.
You go do it somewhere else. I'm going to do it here, okay? Yeah.
Within hours, literally, of Russell Wilson talking about his conversations with Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett was traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. And it became clear in the aftermath of that transaction, according to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, that Kenny Pickett was not happy with the arrival of Russell Wilson. Kenny Pickett had not been happy with the failure to put him back on the field after he returned from an ankle injury last year. They stuck with Mason Rudolph. Kenny Pickett hadn't performed well enough to take a stand about anything, so the Steelers jettisoned him for not very much to the Philadelphia Eagles. Just a strange little development in a week full of them. The idea that the Steelers really did, in less than a month, do a 180. From what they had planned to do. Jerry Dulac, who has been breaking pretty much every Steelers story since someone led him astray on February 17th, telling him that the Steelers would not be signing a quarterback, a veteran, with aspirations to start. Dulac's the one who reported that it was the attitude of Kenny Pickett that got him traded. Just strange. Just amazing. This is what all in is, Chris. We've been trying to figure out what Jerry Jones means by all in. What the Steelers are doing at their weakest position on the field is going all in. Good morning.
Oh, yeah. What's up, man? How are you? Good morning. You're right. I mean, 180 from whatever we heard 6-7 weeks ago, 180 from like what the Steelers do traditionally anyways. That's what's crazy. This is not a Steelers type of move. I mean, again, we're talking about the Steelers. We're talking about a team that, you know, four coaches in the history of their franchise. They don't do anything rash or just go, let's do this. They believe in their plan, right? Whether it's salary cap, how they evaluate players, right? The grooming of the players and doing all that. So that's where it's rare. I mean, obviously something changed within inside that building. And as we've talked about before, Mike, I mean, again, Russell Wilson being out there, Russell Wilson for the price that he's available for, right? Russell Wilson okay, it might not have been great the last 2 years, but it wasn't bad last year. It was better than Kenny Pickett. We know that. That's for sure. And we've seen him play at a high level. They made moves. They felt like they needed to do that for their organization. And like you said, they're going all in. They're not looking back and going, oh, did we hurt anybody's feelings here as we're trying to win a championship and go for it? And, you know, they've had to make the necessary moves within that just because they're being aggressive like you're talking about.
And, you know, this idea that Kenny Pickett was miffed, that he didn't get put back on the field, that just shows in hindsight it never would have worked to have a competition between Pickett and Rudolph if Rudolph had won it. The whole thing would have blown up then.
Well, he's going to be bitter. You're right.
Had a sense, apparently, of entitlement. And what has he done in 24 regular season starts? What has he done in throwing 13 career touchdown passes and 13 career interceptions to make him entitled to anything? His draft status is it, and he must not know much about the NFL because your draft status doesn't mean jack diddly squat. What matters is what you do when you get a chance to play.
Yeah.
And as we've been saying for months, and I feel bad saying this, but this is part of what we have to do. Guys play well, guys don't play well. There's been nothing he's done that has made anyone say, damn, wow, this guy could be special. He's done nothing to make anyone say, oh man, if he does that a few more times per game, he's a Pro Bowler, he's an All-Star, they're a Super Bowl team. It's been in spite of him that they've been competitive, not because of him, and they've given him a fair chance. 24 games at the NFL level in today's climate for every team but the Steelers is a fair chance. That's what makes this so uncanny and out of character, that the Steelers would be the team to throw a first-round quarterback overboard after only two seasons.
Yeah, first-round quarterback, went to school, you know, right next door, practiced, saw him, you know, thought they knew him well. Maybe they didn't know him as well as they thought
apparently they did. Apparently
you
know? Not.
So there you go. I mean, to your point, you never know. Even when he's in the damn building, you talk about the draft all the time. You never know. You never know. Yeah, here they are in the damn building with the guy. They didn't know how he would react to a little negativity and criticism through a 5-6-7 month period there. Right. But Mike, I think you're saying it right. You know, the big thing, Kenny Pickett, I'm sure he felt like, hey, he'd like the organization to support him to a degree. I'm the 20th pick of the draft. You know, I thought we were going to formulate things around me, but I mean, you're spot on, right? What's there to formulate around that? That's the big thing. Right, there's no glaring weakness of his football game. You don't look at one thing and go, oh, he's really bad at that. But within that, too, you don't look at any one area and go, oh, he's really good at that. That's special. Oh, why? I mean, if we just get a little better in this area, watch out. He's going to explode. He's going to become a great football player. No, I know. Nobody in Pittsburgh sees that. You know, this goes back to, you know, what we've talked about a few times over the last few weeks. I know somewhere, you know, around the Kenny Pickett injury right before that, there was talks in that building then. I don't, you know, I want to say a civil war to some extent or whatever, but there was conflicting beliefs about who should be the quarterback of the team going forward, right? And I think you mentioned it, some of the things and concerns with Kenny Pickett, and they felt like Mason Rudolph would give them more of a chance, stand in the pocket, throw the ball down the football field. So he was teetering on the edge of, I think, a lot of people not totally buying into him in the organization to begin with, and I guess this last week was the final straw, and he proved that they didn't want him, and they've moved on.
It just is amazing to think that it is the Steelers who have done this, especially because the signals were so strong up until just a few weeks ago that the Steelers were going to stay the course. We're going to do what we do. This is what the Steelers do. We don't make sudden moves. We don't make big changes.
Do we buy it, Mike? Let me ask you that. Do we buy it? Like, do you buy it? Like, I know I was one that questioned it a little back then. Like, is this just them posturing and saying the right things so a market doesn't emerge for Russell Wilson or maybe somebody else, right? I do think they're smart enough in the building to play that angle. And I don't know this, Mike. I'm just spitballing with you like two football fans would.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're a team that would overtly lie to the reporters covering them.
Yeah, they
haven't. Because
if
that's accurate,
right,
that means they lied to Jerry Dulac. Not that they gave him bad information, that they flat out deliberately lied to him. And here's the thing, Chris. They don't need to do that. They don't need to tell any lies about it because nobody would have pegged them as a team that's going to make some bold move, that's going to get rid of all three quarterbacks that was on the depth chart last year and sign Russell Wilson and trade for Justin Fields, which we'll talk about coming up, obviously. They don't need to push the lie. They don't need to do anything. Now, maybe they felt compelled to do it because just people who were following the sport in the media and talking about it were making them an obvious destination for guys.
Yeah,
they were
right.
Still the betting favorites right. To sign Russell Wilson.
Right.
But I just feel like they don't need to lie about what they're going to do, that they just keep their mouths shut. They go about their business. They are the Steelers. They are an attractive destination for most players. And I think that the fact that they are the Steelers helped them get the guys they got. Not lying to a guy that's been covering the team forever, because I don't care how many feed to him now.
I hear you.
If he thinks they lied to them, that damages the relationship. And I know that, like, a lot of people are like, well, who cares? Well, when you're in a market like that where there's two papers and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette is the more established one that's been there, the beat writer at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, if you lie to him about something this important and he's never going to live it down, that's a big deal. That's a big deal.
Yeah, listen, and I don't know that.
Where reporters have been lied to.
I know.
They have been lied to strategically.
Right,
it's not the first time it's happened. The Steelers just don't seem like the team that would do it. They don't seem like they need to have to do it to achieve their objective.
No,
that's just my take.
I hear you there, Mike. They're typically don't seem to be the team that does that type of stuff. And in this one, I don't know. Like, listen, I know there was issues in that building and arguments about we shouldn't play Kenny Pickett anymore and we should go Mason Rowe. I know that Kenny Pickett wasn't very happy that this went down. The other aspect, but this, as far as them coming out a few weeks ago and saying, no, we're staying with this and all that, I don't know that one. I'm just spitballing it because when Russell Wilson, and we knew it was over with Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos, we sat here on this show, and the first show we talked about where we went, where do we think Russell Wilson would go? The Steelers were the first team we brought up, and we've talked about them, and they're no idiots there either, right? So that's just where. Maybe they didn't lie. Maybe they just didn't tell the whole truth. Maybe they weren't even totally sure of their own truth, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. You got to remember that, too. A lot of these teams have just solidified their plans and free agency and all that within the last 2-3 weeks, really. So maybe he got a question, you know, or an answer before they really dove into this whole thing and figured out what they want to do. But again, that's just spitballing. I have no inside info on that at all.
Well,
yeah.
And look, as best I've been able to piece it together, kind of reverse engineering what happened, I think the moment where whoever needed to be brought over to the let's get rid of all of these bums side and replenish the depth chart.
Yep.
When Mason Rudolph's people made their opening demand for whatever Rudolph wanted to be paid, I think the light bulb went off. Holy shit, we can get Russell Wilson for $1.2 million. And I think that was the moment that whoever needed to wake up, woke up. That gave, if there was any type of palace intrigue over this, if there was infighting about whether or not they pursue Russell Wilson, when Rudolph's people asked for whatever they asked for, that gave someone the ammunition to say, we can get Russell Wilson for $1.2 million. This guy, who did nothing for years, and finally fell into three good regular season games and a not embarrassing playoff performance, wants whatever he wants. We see what he got from the Titans. He's going to get over $3 million with playing time incentives. So it's not like he was walking around saying, I'll take the league minimum. I'll take the league minimum. Just give me a job. So I think that was the moment that the dam broke.
Yeah.
I think there was pressure on the dam.
Right.
And they were trying to hold together a united front because that's what they always do. You never hear tales of infighting in Pittsburgh. Widespread. They nip that in the bud. I think that's when the dam broke and the dominoes fell. And in comes Russell Wilson and out goes Kenny Pickett. And my guess is folks in the organization knew that Russell Wilson's arrival would provoke the kind of reaction that would maybe get Kenny Pickett out of their lives for good, which is a huge deal for the Pittsburgh Steelers to give up on a first-round quarterback after 2 years. They've given up on first-round picks quickly in the past, but you don't give up on first-round quarterbacks. They've only had a small handful of them in the last 50 years. Terry Bradshaw, Mark Malone, who was around for a long time, played receiver at one point. For a long time, he had the record for the longest touchdown catch in team history, 90 yards. They kept him around and used him. And then Ben Roethlisberger in 2004, and then Kenny Pickett. To throw him out after 24 starts, after two seasons.
Right.
And some people are now saying, well, it's Matt Canada's fault that Kenny Pickett wasn't any good. Well, I remember thinking last year when Matt Canada was the focal point of the team's ire, it could be a quarterback. There's a chance it's a quarterback. What's a quarterback doing to play his way out of this? What are we seeing from the quarterback that is making us say, other than that,
right,
that long pass to George Pickens when they made the mistake of putting single coverage on him and they saw it, and it was a third and short play, I think it was, and he hit Pickens over the top. That's it. There was, and that was more Pickens getting open and running under the ball and getting it. That's the kind of ball that a lot of quarterbacks can throw. So there wasn't anything Pickett did to cement his future.
No.
And the Steelers were willing to decide after 2 years, and off it goes.
And I'll go back to my phrase last week, the one we used, right, to kind of like talk about this a little bit, the beacon of hope factor. There's just nothing there with good. I applaud the Steelers for making this move. You said it right. I mean, yeah, it's not one you expect the Steelers to make. You know, I think Mike Tomlin, the way he is, defensive coach, he's, hey, let's build the team, let's do all that. I think he realized, like, damn, it's too hard for me. Like, oh, we're going to dink and dunk, and my quarterback's never going to make any plays or never make any big throws down the field, and we're going to win the game with our defense and hopefully a special teams play. Like, it's just, it's too hard to win like that week in, week out in the NFL. You know, you might get in the playoffs like they've been able to do, but they haven't been able to be a power in the AFC, right? And you talk about, you know, old first rounders that played there, right, and all that. They don't give up on them. Well, you know, I mean, hey, some of those guys, again, had things that were elite. Terry Bradshaw, you could say what he want. Maybe he couldn't spell cat. Maybe he didn't know which way was up or down. But that damn dude could throw the football like nobody else on the planet. I mean, he had a rocket launcher for a right arm. There's a reason he was, what, a country champion throwing the javelin, right? So there was something elite there. Ben Roethlisberger. Okay, yeah, he's a little raw, and hey, we'll have to, but whoa, there's some things about this guy that's special. Nobody is saying that about Kenny Pickett. Nobody is saying that about Kenny Pickett. It's not giving their team any hope that they can win big football games. And how the hell can you be in that locker room and go, man, AFC North, woo, yeah, woo, we're going to take Lamar, we're going to take Joe Burrow, we're going to take Watson down with Kenny Pickett. Like, yeah, right. Like, get the hell out of here. That's not giving anybody hope in the locker room. And I think that's why at the end of the day, they started to go, and the things you're talking about, they went, wait, we got a chance to upgrade here for nothing, like you said. And it kind of fell into their lap or whatever here. But it's, I think, damn good. And I give them a lot of praise for making a move like this because it's not easy.
I think an entire book could be written on the dynamics internally of how they got to this point, because this was a rare type of thing. The Steelers are just this rock that doesn't change. They're this giant NFL boulder that just does things a certain way. They're very predictable. And somebody got them to change. And I'd love to know who was being recalcitrant, and I'd love to know who had the sledgehammer.
What was that word there? Recalcitrant? What was that? Say that again.
Yes. I looked it up during a break. It's recalcitrant.
Okay. That's way too big of a word for me and most of our listeners. I mean, there might be a few out there.
Peter King retired. Peter King retired, so I got to pick up the slack a little bit. I got to add some multisyllabic.
Oh, there we go. Another one.
Somebody was stubborn.
Yeah.
Somebody was being stubborn. How about that?
Okay.
Stubborn.
Sounds good. Sounds good. I know that means.
All right. So, and look, I really, as I reflect on some of the conversations I had at the scouting combine, we didn't get a chance to get Omar Khan on the program. He did his podium session later in the week. And Bert Lawton, the excellent PR spokesman, and I cringe when I say excellent PR spokesman because that means the other 31 are going to say, how about us? But the excellent Steelers PR chief texted and said, hey, are you around? Omar's in the building if you guys want to talk to him. But it was just like weird timing and we were gone for the day or whatever it was. It was like Thursday afternoon or Wednesday afternoon. And so we didn't get a chance to talk to him. Not that he would have given up the goods to us, but we at least would have had a chance to get him to maybe write a check or two like Kevin O'Connell did that week.
Yeah.
So maybe the podium availability by Omar Khan was deliberately timed so he wasn't there when everyone else was kind of coming through our car wash. But what I picked up Combine week was that, because I was pushing that, why don't they want Russell Wilson? Why don't they want Russell Wilson? They should want Russell Wilson. Nope. Stay in the course. So, again, somebody got their mind changed.
I really don't
think they were committed to the bit. Somebody got their mind changed.
Maybe. I feel like somebody in that building was on the, let's continue to investigate this Russell Wilson thing. I agree. You know,
apparently.
Let's not be too hot on him and get other teams, because you know how the league works too, right? You start to hear a team or two like it, they start to go, you know, why don't we go in here and, you know, investigate this? Let's watch a little film here, right? The Steelers are involved. This team's involved. You know, let's see if there's something we're missing here. And that's where they could have been playing coy. And again, I don't know that. I'm just throwing that out there. That's just the way I've seen things work throughout the years.
I don't disagree with you, but it's not a money thing, because usually like that is, hey, if other teams pick up on this, then it's going to cost us more. It was going to be 1.21 no matter what. It was a question of giving Russell Wilson the most attractive landing spot.
That's what it is.
And that was, to him, the most attractive landing spot. By the way, Jeff Howe of The Athletic reporting that when he met with the Giants just 10 days ago before going to Pittsburgh and meeting with the Steelers, one of the realities of that meeting was your New York Giants would not make any promises to him about playing time.
Exactly.
So that was that.
Right.
Which implies that part of this from the Steelers was they made promises to him about playing time.
Definitely.
They told him he's going to be QB1.
Right.
There's going to be a competition that you have to win. We're basically ready to sever ties with Kenny Pickett as the starter, and then obviously became.
That's why I think what I think, because they've been laying in the weeds with this. Those are the other reasons I think that, right? Because after it happens, and now you hear that, those are the things that make me believe that, hey, this has been thought about. This didn't just like in 7 days go, you know, Russell Wilson's free, guys. Maybe we should think about this. Like, this has been percolating there. I have a hard time, you know, not believing that. But, yeah, to your point, yeah, maybe it wasn't about the money. It was just about, let's make sure there's no other spots that might be attractive to him. Who knows? But they got their guy, and I give them credit for that. And Russell Wilson is definitely an upgrade from Kenny Pickett. There's no doubt about that.
At the end of the day, everybody knew he was available, and the Broncos gave him permission to go out and meet with any team he wanted to before they officially cut him. So anybody that would have wanted him, like if the Vikings would have wanted him instead of Sam Darnold, Russell Wilson for 1.2 instead of Sam Darnold for 10, they could have done it. The teams that need quarterbacks could have done it. The Raiders could have done it. Everybody knew. It wasn't some secret. And also, it wasn't like once they met with him on Friday, there was this land rush of other teams that wanted to get in line to meet with him too, and were making some grandiose promise to him that would get him away from the Steelers.
Right.
So I think that.
You
and if I had to guess, if somebody said to me, well, I don't want this to be overblown. I don't know this. But if I had to guess what happened, my guess would be Art Rooney didn't want to change, the owner of the team. He didn't want to make any changes. He was there when they gave Terry Bradshaw his 5 years to finally figure out how to play football, if not spell cat. And I think that the guy with the whistle, the guy who may be feeling a sense of urgency to turn this thing around, the guy who's had enough of these anemic offensive performances
100%.
To go along with his defense, was saying, we got to do something here. We got to do something here. And I think Omar Khan was caught in the middle of it. And I don't know whether Khan was the one that helped swing it. I don't know if Khan was the one who was like trying to finesse it. But if I had to guess, I'm not saying I know, but just based upon, if you've heard this before, don't stop me because I'm going to say it anyway. In and around Pittsburgh for 50 years, watching that team, studying that team, as not a fan of that team, although you would disagree with me, I kind of got a feeling of how things work.
Bullshit.
All right. But I think Art Rooney was the one. And I think it's almost like season one of The Sopranos when Tony's big challenge was to let Uncle Junior think that he was in charge when he really wasn't. Like, sometimes you almost have to find a way to let the boss come to the conclusion on his own. And you got to go along with what the boss wants. And you're on board with the boss's plan, but you're working to change the boss's mind. Or more accurately, you're working to the moment where the boss changes his mind on his own. And then when he does, you're like, oh, yes, oh, we agree. Yes. Oh, you're absolutely right. That's the smartest thing you've ever done.
Right.
And it may have been when Mason Rudolph wants $5 million a year, that may have been the moment that Art Rooney said, why in the hell are we paying $5 million for him? Russell Wilson only wants 1.21 million. Yes, yeah, sold.
Right.
Let's do it.
Right. So, hey, listen, I don't think you're that far off.
That's all fan fiction.
Right. Well,
that's all just tea leaves and pasta and meatballs.
Well, I've told you what I know, and I know some. You know, I stated that earlier, and again, my read on it, and not knowing everything here in this situation, is that there's something like that. Whether it was the front office or there was a faction of people that were certainly in Kenny Pickett's corner, you know, and of course Kevin Colbert, his last year as a GM, his last draft, this was the supposed to be his gift to the franchise, his parting gift, right? Here, I got a franchise quarterback for you. And obviously, there was people in that building that supported Kenny Pickett and thought he was the guy of the future. Yeah, I think there was, again, you know, for lack of a better phrase, a little bit of a civil war there in that conversation there for a little bit of time, and whether there was belief in he was the guy, should he be the guy going forward, and you know, whoever won. Right, I'm with you. I think it's probably the guy with the whistle who says a lot of cool things in front of the microphone on a weekly basis. You know, he decided to go, wait, come on. Russell Wilson's out here. We got some other people. But, you know, again, I don't know. It's awesome move by them. And then, hey, on the other side of this is an awesome move by the Eagles, too. You know, this is a win-win for both, right? The Eagles don't have jack diddly squat at quarterback right now other than Jalen Hurts. Right? The Eagles are a Super Bowl football team. They don't want to play Jalen Hurts got hurt, his knees banged up, he doesn't get to play 4 or 5 weeks, and all of a sudden we go 1-4 or 1-5 during that break. Right? So now they got a guy that, hey, he's played some ball, he can run an offense, right? And, you know, they're not going to fall off earth here if Jalen Hurts gets hurt, and it protects their football team. And for what they traded for him and all that, you know, it's a good trade for the Eagles. It protects their assets. It's a good job by Howie Roseman.
Well, but how can we say that this guy isn't good enough to be the starter in Pittsburgh, but he's good enough to be the backup for Philadelphia when there's nothing special that he does? Especially when, and we're going to tie this all together in a moment, Justin Fields was available as a backup. Apparently.
Yeah, well.
Justin Fields coming into Pittsburgh for peanuts. Why is it not that the Eagles? Because doesn't that match the skill set?
It does.
Running quarterback?
I think Justin Fields coming to town causes an issue. It's a little bit like, wait, you know, hey, Jalen Hurts, what? I'm faster than you, Jalen Hurts. What do you mean? Hey, your arm? My arm's stronger than yours, Jalen Hurts. I think Justin Fields causes a problem. Right? Justin Fields gets in the game, and the first time they run the read option behind that offensive line, all of a sudden he rips off 70 yards. All of a sudden the fan base is in the locker room is like, whoa, did you see Justin Fields? It's okay for Kenny Pickett, because Kenny Pickett, to what you said, is he's the perfect backup. That's what he is. He's a high-end backup that maybe can be a starter as we go, and maybe he can get better as a football player. Right? But again, yeah, I mean, that's what it is. It's not about being a starter or anything, but it's about them still being good enough, and he can handle that, especially with that team and that support system, to where, yeah, they won't crash and burn if Jalen Hurts gets hurt.
That is a sad commentary, if that's true. Think about that. We hear all the time that decisions are made in the best interest of the team, whatever in the hell that means. And there's a great study of that phrase in the ninth episode of The Dynasty on Apple TV Plus. Oops, sorry, Peacock. But in the ninth episode, when Malcolm Butler doesn't play in Super Bowl 52, Robert Kraft basically comes out and says it was something personal between Belichick and Malcolm Butler, and Belichick has always made decisions in the best interest of the team, and this is basically the first time he didn't, because he allowed emotion to get in the way of football decisions. That's what Kraft says. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he says.
Right.
So best interest of the team, what are the best interests of the team? Is it in the best interest of the team to have the best possible backup quarterback? But if he might be too good, he might be better than the guy we have starting. Isn't that a good thing, to acquire somebody who's better than the guy you have starting?
It is.
Isn't that sad to think? If that's true, if it's true, isn't it sad to think that a team would stick with someone lesser than someone else's who was available for nothing?
It's very common.
Better.
It's very
common. With the other quarterback. I know, but it's sad. It's sad to think it happened.
No,
if I'm a fan of the Eagles, I'm pissed off that they didn't bring in Justin Fields because they're afraid he might be better than Jalen Hurts.
Well, let's put it this way.
If that's true.
Well, let's
not saying it's true.
Right. Let's put it this way, though. Right? I mean, we talk about all the time, the leader of your team's important, locker room's important. And they took a big blow in that department this year. All we've talked about Philadelphia since the Super Bowl ended was what the hell was going on in that locker room. What's going on there? So I'm sure they're very aware of that. It's a delicate situation, right? You know. So and again, I don't know that, but that would just be my thoughts. Justin Fields causes some problems there. Kenny Pickett is not a threat to Jalen Hurts at all in any way, right? Everyone and again too. And I know we're not getting into the Justin Fields conversation yet, and we will here in a little bit. But, you know, not everybody views Justin Fields, as we know, as a, you know, starting quarterback or a guy that they can trust in some passing situations and all that. The damn team he's coming from, you know, gave us indicting comments on him about, we want somebody who runs a two-minute offense. We want somebody that can play in the pocket better. I mean, they kind of semi-crapped all over him as he was still a part of their football team at the combine. So, and I think there's a lot of teams in football, and you see with the trade market, that look at him, and I don't think he's trusted in those departments either. So, you know, here they got a backup that, okay, he can, you know, he's not going to be able to run and make some of the plays like Justin Fields, but he can run the offense, and they trust that, let alone I think they trust maybe the locker room dynamic maybe more.
Well, Chris, I'm confused then. Is Justin Fields a threat to Jalen Hurts, or is he not a threat to Jalen Hurts? Because in one breath, you sound like he is, and another breath, you sound like he isn't.
No, I'm saying I could see that being the reason. I'm just throwing something out there to go, the rest of the league doesn't view him that way either, right? I wasn't trying to make a breaking news statement or anything like that. I'm just trying to give two sides of the story there.
I understand.
Because I don't know the inside info here. I don't. You know, these are the kind of things, again, I usually find out after the fact, and I don't know what Philly's thought process is, but trying to put my best Eagles hat on there.
The dynamic that you referred to, going back to Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I mean, in Seattle, it was competition everywhere, except at quarterback. When they had a chance to get he who shall not be named, lest all of the, you know, folks out there get upset that I said his name again. But when he visited, that was the spin from Pete Carroll. We already have a starter. We don't need a guy who's good enough to be a starter. We have a starter. So that does happen. That does happen. I agree with you. It's just weird to think that a team would shy away.
I hear you.
Because it's clear that Justin Fields is a better option.
Well,
at number
he fits
two
their offense and what
in
they
that
would
offense
do.
Especially.
Exactly. Yes. I agree with you.
Clearly the better option.
Agreed. Agreed.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. This summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
Now, from ESPN.com comes the report that the Bears had an additional offer with stronger draft capital from a team with an established starter, but chose to send Fields to Pittsburgh with the hopes of putting the 25-year-old in a position to continue his development, first as a backup to Wilson and eventually as a starter. So, I don't know. He sees a path to playing in Pittsburgh when there isn't one elsewhere, wherever it is, where the established starter is. Maybe it was Philadelphia. I don't know. And clearly the Eagles would have abandoned ship on Friday when they traded for Kenny Pickett, and it was the next day that the deal happened for Justin Fields. But the way this is a weird needle for the Steelers to thread, because right after the trade for Fields, and we're going to really unpack that in a moment, Jerry Dulac, again, the guy who's going to get every scoop involving the Steelers because they either lied to him or accidentally told him something other than the truth, back on February 17, he said that the Steelers intend to sign Russell Wilson to a longer-term contract after this year. Now, it's easy to say because if he stinks, nobody's going to say, but you said you were going to sign him to a longer-term deal. They're going to say, get him the hell out of here. But at some level, like, there are mixed messages here. Who's the guy beyond this year? And I think they don't care beyond this year. This is about this year.
Yeah.
We got Russell Wilson.
Right.
We got Justin Fields.
Right.
And if Fields is coming to town thinking if he impresses us, he could be the starter beyond 2024, maybe he's right. Maybe he can. Get to work and show us what you got. And Russell Wilson's going to get to work and show us what he's got. Russell Wilson is going to be 36 in November. So maybe Justin Fields. You know, remember when they got Charlie Batch? I think back to that. And this was pre-Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
When they, I think, yeah, it was pre-Mike Tomlin.
It was.
When Charlie Batch signed there, and actually, that was something in the early days of PFT. We were the first ones to say, hey, Charlie Batch may sign with the Steelers. And all the established reporters were like, well, that's a load of crap. He's a starter. He's not going to go back up somebody in Pittsburgh. He's not going to go be the number two in Pittsburgh. And lo and behold, he went to Pittsburgh. And he just stayed there forever as the backup. Like, you have guys who go to Pittsburgh and they love it there and they wait their turn, and sometimes their turn never comes and they're fine with it. So maybe Justin Fields is thinking, I'll just come and I'll stay for one, two, three, four. Whenever Russell's done, they slide me in as the starter potentially. So there really is an attraction. You take money out of the equation. There is an attraction, I think, a strong attraction to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. How can there not be? With the fan base, with Renegade, with the black and gold, with the history, with Mike Tomlin, if you had all things equal, how could you not be interested in playing for the Steelers? And maybe at the end of the day, that's what delivered it. And Justin Fields will worry about next year when next year comes.
Well, yeah, I think that's it. He's in a tough spot here. There was no spot where he was going to walk in to be a starter. So he goes, wait, let me go to a place where, you know, sounds like he's got some allies there that they like him, right? All right. Oh, wait, it's Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's been a little shaky the last 2 years. It's not like he's, you know, cemented in stone as being the franchise guy in the future. So from that standpoint, it makes sense, right? And I think, like, you're right. I mean, my spidey senses, my instincts, I think, are along the same way as you. They want it to be Russell Wilson this year and be the guy, right? And Justin Fields can sit behind him, learn how Russell prepares, all that. And Justin Fields can work on some of the things that we all know the league thinks he needs to work on, which is play from within the pocket. And he gets better in those areas, and maybe he is the future there in Pittsburgh. But I can certainly understand, and this has the feel of, you know, I saw the ESPN report and all that, that the Bears are trying to do right by Justin Fields too, right? And good for them by doing that. I know they could have held on to him longer. They could have held on to the draft or even into training camp and done all that, but I don't think they wanted to deal with that headache, and I think they wanted to let Justin Fields, like he has been telling everybody on every podcast, I just want to get somewhere and get this done and get started with the next season, and I think all of that probably came into play here with this one.
Well, look, this could be a situation where the Bears are hopeful that we all say they did right by Justin Fields, when the reality is they don't want the headache.
Yes, that's the biggest thing.
They don't want Justin Fields there. They got yard signs in Chicago. Justin Fields is our quarterback. I mean, this thing is going to have ramifications if Caleb Williams, the guy that we assume they're going to take with the first overall pick.
Yeah, it's going to be him.
If he doesn't deliver right away,
right,
it's going to be a mess in Chicago. I talk all the time. There's already pressure on these guys when they're the first overall pick. You add pressure to them by circumstance, whether it's trading up from number 9 to number 1 like the Panthers did, and then you've got a bright line comparison with C.J. Stroud that weighs on Bryce Young. How can it not? These are young guys. How can it not? And you can say, oh, they're supposed to be confident. Well, they are, but they're still human. These issues will weigh on them. And if you have a faction of fans who are going to be forever pissed off that the Bears gave up on Justin Fields, Caleb Williams has to win them over. And if Fields is in Pittsburgh, on the field at any point, we're going to talk about that in a second. We really haven't gone in the front door on this Justin Fields thing. We've kind of let it trickle in up through the basement. But they're going to have an issue. So this whole idea of doing right by Justin Fields, they're trying to do right by themselves. First time a team does right by a player, the next time will be the first time. It's just coincidental to what they want to do. And I hate to be overly cynical about this, but I would submit that 99% of the time, when somebody tries to create the impression that they're doing right by the player, the reality is they're doing right by themselves. And it's a coincidence that it also is right for the player.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, come on, we've been talking about this. Yeah, you know, right? I mean, yeah, they don't want both of them in the locker room together. They don't want a divided locker room. They don't want any of that talk, all of that, right? You know, so I think it's all of it. And, you know, again, I think there is a little bit of a human aspect here that does come into play. We see teams every now and then do somebody a solid and let them go maybe a little before they – you wrote an article yesterday writing why would they do it now, right? I mean, so it's not that crazy to think that they, you know, again, they don't want the headache. That's number one. You're right about that. I agree with you there. But I think there's a little human element there, too, to kind of go, hey, let's let the guy get out the door. Hey, we could have maybe got a little bit better of an offer here, but the guy doesn't want to go there. He'd rather go there, right? Let's do that for him. That does go on, and unfortunately, it goes on more with quarterbacks than other people. It's more of the favoritism of a quarterback in a lot of ways, but you know, I wouldn't be shocked if that was at play here a little bit.
And here's the reality. Justin Fields is under contract for one more year at $3.2 million. Someone's going to have to make the decision.
It will now be
the Steelers as to whether or not the fifth-year option will be picked up. Don't look for the $25 million fully guaranteed commitment to be made to Justin Fields by early March, because that will confuse the hell out of everyone.
No doubt.
Everyone, right, if they do that.
Right.
So he'll be a free agent next year. He'll have to choose where he's going to go next, and maybe somebody else will offer him a starting job, but the Steelers will worry about that at the time. For now, the Bears had a player under contract. And this does break from the notion that they're all interchangeable parts in the football machine. $3.2 million. Hey, what if Caleb Williams gets hurt? We need a backup to Caleb Williams. You don't find many backup quarterbacks for less than $3.2 million, Chris. So, again, I do think that other factors came into play here.
Agreed.
I think that the Bears were sensitive to what was going to happen in Chicago if he was still on the team. I said last week, just pay him to not be around if he'll agree to that. Because eventually a starter gets hurt and he walks through the door as the starter. And I don't know if they had those conversations, but at the end of the day, he sees the best situation for him going to Pittsburgh, where he clearly is going to be the number two to Russell Wilson, but an opportunity will be there for him to play if Wilson gets hurt, if Wilson just is the guy that we saw the past couple of years in Denver. Or, and Chris, this is the first thing I thought of when I considered Wilson and Fields on the same team. Because it's not about just putting your best quarterback on the field. It's about putting your best 11 offensive players on the field. And they had Cordell Stewart in 1995 when he was a second-round pick out of Colorado and Neil O'Donnell was the established starter. And they knew that Stewart had special skills. They got him on the field. I think Arthur Smith, the new offensive coordinator of Pittsburgh, is already drawing up the plays for Justin Fields' packages, either as quarterback or out there with Russell Wilson under center and Fields doing something else, because he's got the talent to do it. And what a revolutionary approach by the Steelers. But for the fact that they did it in 1995, they're not the team that you would expect to be that creative offensively. I have a feeling that's coming this year.
Well, I mean, we know we're all going to be looking at their offense, certainly. Arthur Smith, we know he likes to run the football, do that type of stuff, right? It's old school. Arthur Smith wants to be, you know, like we've talked about, Mike Vrabel, early Patriots, Bill Parcells-ish. I mean, that's what it feels like, right? I wouldn't be shocked to what you're saying. He's got a little package of things every week that maybe he gets out there, and they got some gadget plays or whatever else. Now, they got to be careful how much they do that. He is the backup quarterback, right? So they're not going to, like, go, hey, here's the ball 15 times a game and, you know, smash it up in there. But I don't disagree with you. Would we see Justin Fields next to Russell Wilson in the shotgun and they toss it to him and he's got a little quarterback option of whether he could throw the ball or run it? Yeah, stuff like that. I would not be shocked to see that. I would not. But either way, the moves the quarterback, the Steelers made at quarterback makes you change the thought of the Steelers altogether. It does. You know, it makes you think, wow, Russell Wilson, we know he's still got some game-changing ability and can make game-changing throws. We know Justin Fields can do that. You know, they probably need to get another wide receiver, right? Now that they don't have Deontay Johnson, they got to add something there to that. But, Mike, I don't think your thought's crazy about seeing Fields in some action in some of these games, a little special package that way.
They know how to draft receivers. Mike Williams, the former Chargers receiver, reportedly visiting the Steelers and others this week. And again, it becomes a snowball effect where there's going to be others that want to be in Pittsburgh. They're going to want to be part of this with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields and Mike Tomlin. And sources close to me tell me that Tomlin has a renewed energy and that the entire building has a sense of urgency.
Beacon of hope.
That's exactly what they needed.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they needed.
Right.
If you can put together a playoff team with a roster that is less than, individually, less than, collectively, under Mike Tomlin's leadership, they make it to the playoffs. They made it to the damn playoffs last year. Who would have thought that, the way they struggled offensively? But you have any offense to go along with that defense, and they're going to be a team that I think shakes things up a little bit in the AFC North. I don't know whether they'll be able to contend with the Chiefs. I don't know how good they're going to be. I don't know what the ceiling is for Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, the Steelers offense, but it's higher than it was last year. It's higher than it's been since Ben Roethlisberger was in the latter stages of his prime, because those last couple of years, it really wasn't Ben Roethlisberger, especially the last year when they made him the offer that they didn't think he'd accept, and he accepted it. Like, oh, crap, now we're stuck. That last year, he was a shell of himself. So they haven't had high-end quarterback play for a while. And I know there's a lot of skeptics out there that think Russell Wilson just isn't going to be any good. The last 2 years in Denver show that he's crossed into past his prime territory. But, hey, if that's the case, they still got Justin Fields.
Yeah, no, and I don't think it's that. I'm not ready to say that with Russell Wilson. I'm ready to say Russell Wilson's not made for a guy like Sean Payton, and he's not made to be, I'm going to drop back 42 times a game, and I'm going to be 36 for 42, and, you know, I'm going to have a quarterback rating in 110 and, you know, have three touchdowns and no interceptions. That's not what he is. I think back about what we talked about last week. That I know he's not that now. That's what I do know. Right, he wanted to go and let me cook and let me be Mahomes or Josh Allen. Nope, you're not that. You're not that. But, like, can he play the style of football we talked about last week where, hey, we run the ball, you know, I throw an out route, we run the ball a little bit more, oh, we run it again, oh, wait, they're creeping up on the run, ooh, now I take a big shot off the play action passes, I'm sitting back there, right? That's the style of football I think he is made to play. That's how he was groomed and brought up in the NFL, and I think he'll fit Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin, Pittsburgh type of football that way, and that's where it'll work. So, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, I think they got to feel happy and more confident about where they are in their quarterback room in Pittsburgh.
Sixth-round pick in 2025 for Justin Fields. It becomes a fourth-rounder if he plays 51% of the offensive plays this season. Even then, it's a steal because they will have gotten more than half of their offensive snaps out of Justin Fields for a future fourth round selection. And I understand that the Bears wanted whatever. Bottom line, during the trade conversations,
you understand.
I wonder if the Bears said to the Steelers,
yeah, "What?"
I wonder if the Bears said to the Steelers, "Could you maybe give us a little bit more, given that we gave you essentially a first round pick for Chase Claypool? Could you really? Could we balance it? Like, could you know? Is this like player to be named later? Like, come on, man! Like, you already got us once. You really want to get us this way again?" And I know they're two separate transactions, 2 years apart, but man, it looks like the Steelers and the Bears in two different trades. I mean, the Steelers clearly won the last one because the Bears didn't know what they were getting in Chase Claypool, and they ended up giving him – didn't they cut him, or they gave him Miami for nothing?
Yeah, like nothing, I think.
But, yeah, nothing. But they gave up what became the last pick in round one in 2023 because the Dolphins had their pick stripped for tampering with Sean Payton and Tom Brady, and the Bears had the first pick in round two. It became the last pick as a practical matter in round one. So a couple of good trades for the Steelers with the Bears. And we'll see. I mean, we're assuming that Justin Fields, but look, if you'd have told me a year ago that Justin Fields is going to get a future sixth round pick, I'd have thought, well, what did he do? Was he terrible?
Yeah. Right. Did he get hurt? Right.
Did he have some serious injury? Right, like exactly. What? Like, no, I mean, he was still Justin Fields last year. He did get injured and miss some time. But when he came back, he was still Justin Fields.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he dropped off the face of the earth. They're just in a spot where they know they're taking Caleb Williams, and they needed to offload this guy ASAFB.
Yeah, well, we're seeing that in this. The day of, like, hey, we don't want this guy anymore. We've sent out 90 million signals that we don't want him. Now overpay us for a trade for him has done. I mean, that's the one thing we've definitely learned in this free agency period. How many trades have there been where I've had radio stations or people go, I can't believe they got him for this. Well, when the writing's on the wall that nobody wants the player anymore, right? And that's part of the Justin Fields thing is, hey, listen, you know, like you heard me say, and I'm sure they feel the same way. When you turn on Caleb Williams and watch it, I just see special. I mean, I see like, ooh, it's He the dude can play. So I understand them moving on from him there and wanting to go with Caleb Williams. And then what we learned through this process is we had a number of seats open for starting quarterback. Like, hey, we don't have a quarterback. Here we go. We have found out that the league determined basically as a whole, or at least the teams that had quarterback openings, that they didn't feel Justin Fields was starting caliber or they were willing to invest. And there were some things that they wanted to see that had to be improved in his game. And I think between all those things right there, you know, that leads to not the value we all expect for a guy who was a first round pick quarterback out of Ohio State and all of that. But, you know, that's, you know, just the reality there. And like we've said a million times here, the Bears weren't going to deal with, oh, we're going to have a split locker room between Justin Fields and Caleb Williams. That was not going to happen.
All these teams that want quarterbacks, they're inclined to draft one. Although the cautionary tale from just 3 years ago, Justin Fields gets traded for a future sixth round pick. He was the 11th overall selection
right
in 2021 after the Bears traded up. Trey Lance got traded last year for a fourth round pick. He was the guy for whom the 49ers gave up three first round picks and a three to go from 12 to three. Now they gave up the 12 plus two of the first round picks, but still they invested three ones and a three to get Trey Lance. Mac Jones traded for a sixth round pick last week. Zach Wilson, untradeable, although I saw some steam that maybe the 49ers are going to throw a seventh rounder or something like that out there to get Zach Wilson. The only guy that's worked out is Trevor Lawrence, and we still don't know how good he's going to be.
Yeah.
He looked like he was going to be franchise quarterback. Last year it kind of regressed, but 4 out of 5, that's an 80% failure rate for quarterbacks taken in the top 15 of the draft. And I still think Fields is better than that draft pick would suggest.
Yeah.
But for the Bears, whatever happens going forward, we'll see. But for the Bears, that is a disaster. For the 49ers, it was a disaster. For the Patriots, the final result is disaster. Even though he made it to the Pro Bowl as a rookie, it's disaster, disaster, disaster. And obviously we know about the Jets and Zach Wilson. Four disasters out of five quarterbacks taken in the top 15 picks just 3 years ago. Cautionary tale for this year, isn't it?
It is. It is. I will say, though, with the between that class that year, right, you know, and, hey, I was a guy that had Trey Lance and Justin Fields as 5 and 6 in that class. I know there was other ones I got wrong, right? But that was the weird thing about that class is that I feel more confident in this year's class as complete quarterbacks. That class right there had a lot of, ooh, I like what he does there, but, oh, that needs a little work. Ooh, I like that, but that's not that great. So there was traits to go, ooh, there's some elite things about these guys, but then there was things about all of them where you were like, I wish this was a little bit better, right? And, you know, we're seeing that the flaws and the situations they were in, right, were messed up too. None of them were exactly perfect or easy. I think that's a big part of the conversation as well. But, yeah, not the star-studded, slam dunk, you know, quarterback crop that everybody thought it was going to be at the time of that draft.
That is the one point that I always come back to when it's time to say the draft is not good for the players. Because, especially as a quarterback, you get thrust into a bad situation and your entire career gets thrown off the rails. And it was nothing you did. It's either I'm not going to start, or the coaching staff isn't going to groom me the right way, or I don't have enough talent around me, or it's just a traditionally dysfunctional organization and my entire career is going to get dysfunctioned up because of it. Those are all reasons why these quarterbacks need to look very carefully at where they may be going and where they could be going and be willing to say, I don't want to go there. Now, I assume that the Bears giving away Justin Fields to the Steelers means that they've gotten indications Caleb Williams will play for them. But if I'm Caleb Williams, I want to be damn sure that the Bears are the best option for me. And I want to be damn sure there isn't a way that I can finagle some other outcome that's going to be better for my career, that's going to be better for my development, that's going to be better for my success. Because frankly, and Bears fans know this, frankly, you could make the argument that it may not be perfect for Caleb Williams in Chicago. Deion Sanders was saying recently that just the weather is something he shouldn't want.
Oh, I heard that.
We haven't gotten that indication.
Come on.
We haven't gotten that indication. And apparently the Bears are confident that he won't say no to them.
No. From a guy that just evaluates football, we know the Bears are on the up and up. They got a lot of things on their football team, and we talked about them a lot towards the end of the season to go, ooh, watch out for the Bears, right? And man, if I'm Caleb Williams, you know, one, you see the team, the way it's set up, right? You know, you got a GM that I think is looking for the guy that, you know, he came from in Kansas City. So he's got, I think, a real ally there. Justin Fields was not somebody they drafted. That is a part we didn't bring up and probably, you know, part of the trade value conversation and getting rid of him and all of that as well. But with Caleb Williams, too, I know I didn't have a great career, but I was obsessed with football. I almost came out as a junior because I was going to be a first-round pick. I didn't, right? The Bears were one of those teams. Even when I was drafted, I went, man, it would be awesome to be the quarterback of the Bears. They really haven't ever had a great quarterback in their history. It'd be cool to go there and be the first guy a little bit. Right? And I think you're seeing that a little and what that can be. Mahomes did that in Kansas City. Joe Burrow, I know they had Boomer at one point, but Joe Burrow's kind of got
that going.
Len Dawson
would like to have a word.
Yeah, who's
Len
that?
Len Dawson would like
a
word.
I know, but it had been a long time. They were starving for it. That was my point. I got you, though. You're right. I got you.
Here's the other issue, too, that I would be focused on if I'm a quarterback entering the draft. Who's the head coach? Is the head coach a defensive guy or an offensive guy? Because we've seen this. C.J. Stroud's going to deal with it when Bobby Slowick gets a head coaching job. You go in there, you do well. If the head coach is not an offensive guy, the offensive coordinator's gone, and you have another coordinator, and the personalities change, the dynamics change, the offense changes potentially, and it's a challenge to your overall development. And let's look at the draft order. Number one, Bears. Defensive head coach. Number two, Commanders, defensive head coach. Number three, Patriots, defensive head coach. Number four, Cardinals, defensive head coach. The Chargers have Justin Herbert. That doesn't matter. The Giants are the first one at number six with an offensive head coach who could potentially need a quarterback. And you should want him on your New York Giants. But my point is, if I'm Caleb Williams, I'm looking at this draft order and I'm circling the teams where I think, number one, I could be the starter and they'll make a commitment. And number two, it's an offensive coach who's going to get the most out of me and is going to be there for a long time. And yes, I'm saying that in part because the Vikings have Kevin O'Connell at number 11.
Well, listen,
I tried to get him to say it 2.5 weeks ago.
That's the
I will only play for the Minnesota Vikings, and he wouldn't say it.
That's that. That's the fad. I mean, we know you're right about that. It's definitely the
thing. But it's not a fad. It's reality. If I'm the quarterback, I don't want to have a new offensive coordinator every other year because I play so well, it gets my offensive coordinator a head coaching job. And then I got to break in a new offensive coordinator. I want the same guy every year.
I hear you. You know, I know. But you know, again.
Unless it's John Gruden.
Belichick and Brady made it happen throughout a number of years, right? I mean, it's just, again, the situation's not perfect. I know that. But I would trade in all that what you're talking about to go, wait. Oh my gosh, that O-line, the running backs, the tight end, whoa, that guy at receiver, damn, the defense, Jalen Johnson, you know, Sweat, damn, middle linebackers are good. Whoa, we got the ninth pick of the draft, too. You give me another weapon with DJ Moore, and now I got receiver from the draft over here. Watch out, right? So, I mean, I hear you Mike, but not
Allen
everything's going to be perfect. And Keenan Allen, right. Not everything's going to be perfect. But I think this is a great situation for Caleb Williams to come in to a place like Chicago that's starving for this type of quarterback and really become a huge star in the NFL. I mean, to me, the stars are aligning that way for this to happen.
So what you're saying is Caleb Williams will not be recalcitrant about going to the Chicago.
Whatever that means, right, exactly.
We do have the definition for anybody out there that wants to expand their vocabulary. Word of the day, at least we had it. If I talk
he erased
that,
it.
Come up.
He erased
we had
it.
The definition of recalcitrant.
There it
is.
Oh,
I thought it was going to be a full screen. It was in here. He took it out. Obstinately defiant of authority or restraint. Difficult to manage or operate. Not responsive to treatment.
Is that your middle name? Are you Mike Recalcitrant?
Yes, Florio? There's a chance that may be the case. All right. Are the Vikings recalcitrant about trading up in the draft? I can't believe we went a whole hour and we didn't even waste the first 10 or 15 minutes.
I mean, it's the Steelers, right now it's the Vikings.
It's a full hour of football talk.
Renegade, terrible towel, it's the Florio Show.
When we return, are the Vikings plotting a move up in the draft? We'll discuss that next here on this Monday edition of PFT.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.